Chapter 35. Ripped Away. Yawning, Elaine watched Nynaeve from her bed, her head propped up on one elbow and black hair spilling down her arm. It was really quite ridiculous, this insistence that whoever did not go to tell Iron Riod remain awake. She did not know how long an interval Nynaeve had experienced in the world of dreams, but Elaine had been lying here for a good 2 hours, with no book to read, no needlework to do, nothing at all to occupy her except staring at the other woman stretched out on her own narrow bed. Studying the Eidom was no good. She thought she had wrung everything out of it that she could. She'd even tried a slight touch of healing on the sleeping woman, perhaps all the healing she knew. Nynaeve would never have consented to it awake. She did not think much of Elaine's abilities in that direction. Or maybe she would have in this case, but her black eye was gone. In truth, that was the most complicated healing Elaine had ever done, and it really had exhausted her skill. Nothing to do. If she had some silver, she might have tried making an eidom. Silver was not the only metal, but she would have to melt coins to get enough. The other woman would be less pleased at that than at finding a second eidom. If Nynaeve had been willing to tell Tom and Julin about this, at least she could have invited Tom in for conversation. They really did have the most delightful talks, like a father passing on his knowledge to his daughter. She had never realized that the game of houses was so deeply embedded in Andor, if thankfully not so deeply as it was in some other lands. Only the borderlands escaped it entirely, according to Tom. With the blight right to the north and Trolloc raids a daily fact, they had no time for maneuvering and scheming. She and Tom had wonderful talks, now that he was sure she was not going to try snuggling into his lap. Her face burned at the memory. She had actually thought of that once or twice, and mercifully had not quite brought herself to it. "Even a queen stubs her toe, but a wise woman watches the path," she quoted softly. Lini was a wise woman. Elaine did not think she would make that particular mistake again. She knew she made many, but seldom the same twice. One day, perhaps, she would make few enough to be worthy to follow her mother on the throne. Suddenly she sat up. Tears were leaking from Nynaeve's closed eyes, trickling down the sides of her face. What Elaine had taken for a faint snore, Nynaeve did snore, whatever she said, was a tiny whimpering sob deep in her throat. That should not be. If she had been injured, the hurt would have appeared, although she would not feel it here until she woke. Perhaps I should wake her. But she hesitated, even as her hand stretched toward the other woman. Waking someone out of Tel Iron Riod was far from easy. Shaking, even icy water in the face, would not always do, and Nynaeve would not appreciate being pummeled awake after the bruising Sarandon had given her. I wonder what really happened. I will have to ask Sarandon. Whatever was going on, Nynaeve should be able to step out of the dream whenever she wished, unless... Egwene said that the Wise Ones could hold someone in Tel Iron Riod against their will, though if they had taught her the trick, she had not passed it on to Elaine or Nynaeve. If someone was holding Nynaeve now, hurting her, it could not be Birgitta or the Wise Ones. Well, the Wise Ones might if they caught her wandering where they thought she should not, but if not them, that left only... She took hold of Nynaeve's shoulders to shake her. If that did not work, she would freeze the pitcher of water on the table, or slap her face silly. And Nynaeve's eyes popped open. Immediately, Nynaeve began to weep aloud, the most despairing sound Elaine had ever heard.
I killed her! Oh, Elaine, I killed her with my foolish pride, thinking I could...
The words trailed off in open-mouthed sobs.
You killed who?
It could not be Mogadine. That woman's death would surely not bring this grief. She was about to take Nynaeve in her arms to comfort her when a pounding came at the door.
Send them away,
Nynaeve mumbled, curling herself into a trembling ball in the middle of the bed. Sighing, Elaine made her way to the door and pulled it open, but before she could say a word, Tom pushed past her out of the night, rumpled shirt bagging out of his breeches, carrying someone shrouded in his cloak in his arms. Only a woman's bare feet showed.
She was just there,
Julin said behind him, as if he did not believe the words coming out of his own mouth. Both men were barefoot, and Julin was stripped to the waist, lean and hairless-chested.
I woke for a moment, and suddenly she was standing there, naked as the day she was born, collapsing like a cut net.
She's alive, Tom said, laying the cloak-wrapped figure on Elaine's bed, but only barely. I could hardly hear her heart.
Frowning, Elaine pulled aside the cloak's hood and found herself staring at Birgitta's face, pale and wan. Nynaeve scrambled stiffly from the other bed to kneel beside the unconscious woman. Her face glistened with tears, but her weeping had stopped.
She is alive, she breathed. She is alive!
Abruptly, she seemed to realize that she was in her shift in front of the men, but she barely spared them a glance, and all she said was, Get them out of here, Elaine. I can do nothing with them gawking like sheep. Tom and Julin rolled their eyes toward each other when Elaine made a herding motion at them and shook their heads slightly, but they backed toward the door without complaint.
She is a friend, Elaine told them.
She felt as if she were moving in a dream, floating without feeling. How could this be?
We will take care of her.
How could it possibly have happened? Now don't say a word to anyone. The looks they gave her as she closed the door nearly made her blush. Of course they knew better than to talk. But men did have to be reminded of the simplest things sometimes, even Tom.
Nynaeve, how under the light, she began, turning and cut off as the glow of Sidar surrounded the kneeling woman.
Burn her, Nynaeve growled, channeling fiercely. Burn her forever for doing this.
Elaine recognized the flows being woven for healing, but recognition was as far as she could go.
I will find her, Birgitta, Nynaeve muttered.
Strands of spirit predominated, but water and air were in there, and even earth and fire. It looked as complicated as embroidering one dress with either hand and two more with your feet, blindfolded.
I will make her pay.
The glow shining about Nynaeve grew and grew until it overwhelmed the lamps, until it hurt to look at her except through slitted eyes.
I swear it. By the light and my hope of salvation and rebirth, I will.
The anger in her voice changed, becoming deeper, if anything.
It isn't working. There is nothing wrong with her to heal. She is as perfect as anyone can be. But she is dying. Oh, light! I can feel her slipping away. Burn, Mogadine! Burn her and burn me along with her!
She was not giving up, though. The weaving continued, complex flows weaving into Birgitta. And the woman lay there, golden braid flung over the side of the bed, the rise and fall of her chest slowing.
I can do something that might help, Elaine said slowly.
You were supposed to have permission, but it had not always been so. Once it had been done almost as often without as with. There was no reason it should not work on a woman, except that she had never heard of it being done to any but men.
Linking?
Nynaeve did not look away from the woman on the bed or stop her efforts with the power.
Yes, you will have to do it. I don't know how, but let me guide.
I do not know half of what I am doing right this minute, but I know that I can do it. You could not heal a bruise.
Elaine's mouth tightened, but she let the remark lie.
Not linking. The amount of Sidar that Nynaeve had drawn into herself was amazing. If she could not heal Birgitta with that, what Elaine could add would not make a difference. Together they would be stronger than either apart, but not as strong as if their two strengths were simply added. Besides, she was not certain that she could link. She'd only been linked once, and an Aes Sedai had done it, to show her what it was like, more than how.
Stop, Nynaeve. You said yourself it is not working. Stop and let me try. If it doesn't work, you can...
She could what? If healing worked, it worked. If it did not, there was no point in trying again if it failed.
Try what?
Nynaeve snapped, yet she moved away awkwardly, letting Elaine come close. The weave of healing faded, but not the shining nimbus.
Instead of answering, Elaine put one hand on Birgitta's forehead.
Physical contact was as necessary for this as for healing, and the 2 times she had watched it done in the tower, the Aes Sedai had touched the man's forehead. The flows of spirit she wove were complex, if not so intricate as Nynaeve's of a moment before. She barely understood some of what she was doing and none at all of other parts, yet she had paid close attention from her hiding place to how the weave was shaped. Watched closely, because she had built up a stock of stories in her head, made silly romances where there so seldom were any. After a moment she sat down on the other bed and let Saidar go. Nynaeve frowned at her, then bent to examine Birgitta. The unconscious woman's color was perhaps a little better, her breathing a little stronger.
"What did you do, Elaine?"
Nynaeve did not take her eyes from Birgitta, but the glow around her faded away slowly. "It wasn't healing. I think I could do it myself now, but it was not healing."
"Will she live?" Elaine asked faintly.
There was no visible link between her and Birgitta, no flows, but she could sense the woman's weakness, a terrible weakness. She would know the moment Birgitta died, even if she was sleeping or hundreds of miles away.
"I do not know. She isn't fading anymore, but I do not know."
Weariness made Nynaeve's voice soft, and pain touched it strongly, as if she shared Birgitta's injury. Wincing, she rose and unfolded a red-striped blanket to spread over the woman lying there.
"What did you do?"
Silence held Elaine long enough for Nynaeve to join her, lowering herself awkwardly onto the bed.
"Bonding," Elaine said finally. "I bonded her. As a warder."
The incredulous stare on the other woman's face made her rush on. "Healing was doing no good. I had to do something. You know the gifts a warder gets from being bonded. One is strength, energy. He can keep going when other men would collapse and die, survive wounds that would kill anyone else. It was the only thing I could think of." Nynaeve drew a deep breath.
"Well, it is working better than what I did, at least. A woman warder. I wonder what Lan will think of that. No reason why she shouldn't be. If any woman can, it would be her."
Wincing, she curled her legs up beneath her. Her gaze kept returning to Birgitta.
"You will have to keep this secret. If anyone learns that an accepted has bonded a warder, whatever the circumstances..."
Elaine shivered.
"I know," she said simply and quite fervently.
It was not quite a stilling offense, but any Aes Sedai would very likely make her wish she had been stilled.
"Nynaeve, what happened?"
For a long moment she thought the other woman was going to start crying again as her chin quivered and her lips worked. When she began speaking, her voice was iron, her face a blend of fury and too many tears ever to be shed. She told the tale starkly, almost sketchily, until she came to Mogadine's appearance among the wagons. That she rendered in painful detail. "I should be welted from the neck down," she said bitterly at last, touching a smooth, unmarked arm. Unmarked or not, she flinched. "I don't understand why I am not. I feel it, but I deserve the welts for stupid, foolish pride, for being too afraid to do what I should. I deserved being hung up like a ham in a smokehouse. If there was any justice, I would still be dangling there, and Birgitta would not be lying on that bed, with us wondering whether she'll live or not. If only I knew more. If only I could have Mogadine's knowledge for 5 minutes, I could heal her. I am sure of it."
"If you were still hanging," Elaine said practically, "in a very short while you would be waking up and shielding me. I don't doubt Mogadine would have seen to it that you were angry enough to channel. She knows us all too well, remember? And I do doubt very much that I would have suspected anything until you had done it. I do not fancy being carted off to Mogadine, and I cannot believe you do either."
The other woman did not look at her. "It must have been a link, Nynaeve, like an eidam. That is how she made you feel pain without marking you." Nynaeve still sat there in a glowering sulk.
"Nynaeve, Birgitta is alive. You did everything you could for her, and the light willing, she will live. It was Mokadin who did this to her, not you. A soldier who takes blame for comrades who fall in battle is a fool. You and I are soldiers in a battle, but you are not a fool, so stop behaving like one. Nynaeve did look at her then, a scowl that lasted only a moment before she turned her face completely away. You don't understand. Her voice sank almost to a whisper. She was one of the heroes bound to the wheel of time, destined to be born again and again to make legends. She wasn't born this time, Elaine. She was ripped out of Telairon Riad as she stood. Is she still bound to the wheel? Or has she been ripped away from that, too? Ripped away from what her own courage earned her because I was so proud, so man-stubborn, stupid, that I made her hunt for Mokadin. Elaine had hoped that those questions had not occurred to Nynaeve yet, would not until she had had a little time to recover first. Do you know how badly Mokadin was hurt? Maybe she is dead. I hope not, the other woman almost snarled. I want to make her pay. She took a deep breath, but instead of invigorating her, it seemed to make her sag. I would not count on her dying. Brigitta's shot missed her heart. A wonder she managed to hit the woman at all, staggering as she was. I would not have stood up if I were thrown that far, hard enough to bounce like that. I couldn't even stand up after what Mokadin did to me. No, she is alive, and we had best believe that she can have her wound healed and be after us by morning. She would still need time to rest, Nynaeve, you know that. Can she even know where we are? From what you said, she had no time to do more than see that this is a menagerie. What if she did see more? Nynaeve rubbed her temples as if it were difficult to think. What if she knows exactly where we are? She could send dark friends after us, or send word to dark friends in Samara. Luca is livid because 11 menageries are already around the city, and 3 more are waiting to cross the bridge. Nynaeve, it will take her days to regain strength after a wound like that, even if she does find some black sister to heal her, or one of the other Forsaken. And more days to search through 15 menageries. That is, if there are not more on the road behind us or coming from Altara. If she does come after us or send dark friends, either one, we are forewarned, and we have days to find a boat that can carry us downriver. She paused a moment, thinking, Do you have anything to dye your hair in that bag of herbs? I'll wager anything that you had your hair braided in Telairon Riad. Mine is always its real color there. If yours is loose, as it is now, and another color, it will make us that much harder to find. White cloaks everywhere, Nynaeve sighed. Galad, the prophet, no boats. It is as if everything is conspiring to hold us here for Mokadin. I'm so tired, Elaine. Tired of being afraid of who might be around the next corner. Tired of being afraid of Mokadin. I cannot seem to think of what to do next. My hair? Nothing that would make it any color I'd have. You need to sleep, Elaine said firmly. Without the ring, give it to me. The other woman hesitated, but Elaine merely waited with her hand outstretched until Nynaeve fished the flecked stone ring from the cord around her neck. Stuffing it into her pouch, Elaine went on, Now you lie down here and I will watch Brigitta. Nynaeve stared at the woman stretched out on the other bed for a moment, then shook her head. I can't sleep. I need to be alone, to walk. Getting to her feet as stiffly as if she really had been beaten, she took her dark cloak from its peg and swung it over her shift. At the door she paused. If she wants to kill me, she said bleakly, I do not know that I could make myself stop her. She went into the night, barefoot and sad-faced. Elaine hesitated, unsure which woman needed her more, before settling back where she sat. Nothing she said could make things better for Nynaeve, but she had faith in the woman's resilience. Time alone to work it all over in her mind, and she would see that blame lay at Mokadin's door, not hers. She had to.